The current conflict has been brewing for some time. The dispute over South Ossetia is one of three frozen conflicts left unresolved after the collapse of the former Soviet Union. It was intensified by recent events, such as the recognition of Kosovo's independence from Serbia by many Western governments and by Georgia and Ukraine's intense interest in joining NATO. On August 7th, fighting erupted between Russia and Georgia over the breakaway region of South Ossetia. Earlier this week, Georgian President Mikhail Saakashvili signed a European-backed ceasefire with French Foreign Minister Bernard Kouchner and his Finnish counterpart, Alexander Stubb, in the Georgian capital of Tbilisi. Then, French President Nicolas Sarkozy met with Russian President Dmitry Medvedev in Moscow, and they agreed on a 6-point plan for a permanent truce. The plan includes provisions for what officials call an international discussion on the future status of South Ossetia and Abkhazia, the two pro-Russian breakaway regions of northern Georgia. President Saakashvili has accepted the French-brokered peace plan for an immediate ceasefire, but accuses Russia of sending tanks deeper into Georgia and imposing a naval blockade, charges that Moscow denies. David Nikoradze, Washington reporter for the leading independent Georgian broadcasting company, Rustavi 2, spoke with VOA from Tbilisi. He says the Georgian people are relying on Western countries to help them find a solution to what he describes as this horrible situation, and says they are afraid Moscow's real goal is to remove their president. Mr. Nikoradze points to the leaked conversation between Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice on Sunday at the United Nations.
Mr. Lavrov said that Saakashvili must go. But, you know, people in Georgia think that if Saakashvili will go and if Russia will change the regime in Georgia, it will be the end of Georgia's independence.
However, Igor Zevalev, Washington Bureau Chief of RIA Novosti, Russian News and Information Service, says Russians view the cause of the conflict and its resolution in quite different terms.
Many people, not only in Russia, but also outside Russia, believe the Georgian government made a very serious mistake by trying to resolve the problem of South Ossetia by force on August 7th. Some analysts argue that Russia pursues regime change by bringing down President Mikhail Saakashvili and installing a more pro-Russian leader in Tbilisi. Frankly speaking, I doubt the removal of the Georgian president right now may be a Russian immediate goal.
Another contentious factor underlying the Georgian-Russian conflict, according to David Nikoradze, is Moscow's strong opposition to the building of a pipeline that would carry crude oil from Baku on the Caspian Sea through Georgia to the Turkish port of Ceyhan on the Mediterranean.
We had a lot of negative statements from the Russian officials because Moscow wanted to build this pipeline through its territory after Georgia decided to be a NATO member and requested from the alliance a membership action plan. Russian officials said Moscow will not accept Georgia's aspiration to NATO, and we all saw the results of this.
From a Russian perspective, Igor Zevalev says, the pipeline plays a relatively minor role.
The aim of building such a pipeline was to bypass Russia, but I do not believe this factor plays a major role in what is going on right now. Right now, the major issue is the future of South Ossetia and Abkhazia. The second driver is Georgia's aspiration to become NATO member, which irritates the Russian government a lot. From the Russian perspective, this aspiration actually makes the resolution of these conflicts even more difficult.
Christian Wernicke, Washington correspondent with Germany's Süddeutsche Zeitung, agrees that the root cause of the current impasse is Georgia's expressed desire to join NATO. But he also agrees with David Nikoradze of Rustavi 2 that President Saakashvili had become a thorn in the side of Russia, and it was exacerbated when the Bush administration embraced his aspirations for NATO membership. Mr. Wernicke says that in Berlin, as well as in London, Paris, and Brussels, people now view the conflict as a critical test in the West's relationship with Russia.
Everybody knows that the Germans and some other West European countries are very much exposed because of their dependence on Russian oil and Russian Russian gas, the West has to find a new way to live with a new Russia, with a petrostate who has been empowered by the rising oil prices. And I don't see any simple answer to that.
Christian Wernicke says he fears it is basically Russia's choice whether and how much it cares about its image in international affairs. Furthermore, he argues the Europeans need to take more responsibility for setting limits on Moscow's assault on Georgia, because Ukraine could be next. U.S. President George Bush said Wednesday that the United States strongly supports France's efforts to broker an agreement to end the conflict. He said Washington stands with the democratically elected government of Georgia and asserts that Georgia's sovereignty and territorial integrity be respected. Furthermore, Washington is concerned about reports that Russia has pushed into the strategic city of Gori, blocking the east-west highway and potentially threatening the capital of Tbilisi. Mr. Bush promised the U.S. military would head a humanitarian mission to the people of Georgia. For International Press Club, I'm Judith.